Is this morning. That would be the first, Genesis 16, and the next one later will be read to us by Kath from Psalms 139. I will give her a signal to read it. Sometimes it's funny how we imagine ourselves to be invisible, isn't it? And we never thought that most people can see us. Like, for example, one day, you're so busy, you just went out the door, or even before that quick prayer, you know, put on your jacket, you went out the door, and then while you're walking, somebody's saying, "Hey, are you trying a new look today?" And you thought, what's that? What's that comment? Until you went into the shop, you saw yourself in your reflection, and you realize hair is doing its own ministry. Your jacket is the other side, you know. You are walking with a face like you just woken up from sleep. And you realize, hey, they saw me. And yet they're so polite. They didn't tell me exactly what they saw in me. Well, especially in the British culture, you don't tell people immediately, don't you? You wouldn't dare that, no. You wouldn't dare that. Until you yourself see yourself, oh dear me. What happened to me now? Then you started thinking, uh-oh, somebody saw me. God's not like that. He calls squares, squares, a spade, a circle. And God saw us as we probably haven't imagined. And yet, with God, he saw you. He doesn't go back and says, dear me, I can't handle this guy. Let me go off. I'm not going to handle him. He just actually steps closer. When Abram had all these promises from God, they made a lot of mistakes. At first, they thought nobody saw them. When Sarai had a plot with him saying, hey, I'm not getting any younger. We're now in our 80s. Dear me, can you imagine that kind of conversation? We're now in the 80s, and probably we'll have to have a child according to the promise of God. Can you have a child for me? You know, you've seen Hagar. She could be a good mother. And Abraham, no prayer, no complaints, no arguments. Happy wife, happy life, they said. So he just did what Sarai said. And later on, Hagar became pregnant. And because Hagar became pregnant, she knew the kind of power that she had. She started looking with this disdain towards Sarai, and Sarai felt, oh dear me, the thing that I'm longing for is the one going to look at me now and try to bite me. And so he said to Abram, Abram, it's your fault. You made her pregnant. Now she's looking at me as if I'm nonsense. And Abram, either it's culture or just plain good old Abram, said, well, he's your slave. Do whatever is best you think for you. And of course, as we know from the story, Sarai treated her badly. The tent became the place of fear. There's humiliation. There's lots of commotions. And Hagar one day just can't handle it anymore. She just ran off. She went as far as she can. The desert swallowed her. And at the time, when she was near the well of Beer Lahai Roy, before that was named as Beer Lahai Roy, God's angel called her, Hagar, where did you come from and where are you going? As if God doesn't know where she's going. You know, it's an invitation for a conversation. That's what God did. And according to many studies, when the angel of the Lord appeared in the Old Testament, usually it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. When the word says, and the angel of the Lord met with Lot, or and the angel of the Lord met with Abraham, that actually is Jesus Christ in the form of a pre-Bethlehem situation. And so when she spoke to God, she said, you are the God who sees me. And she named the place Beer Lahai Roy. So anybody whose name is Roy actually came from that meaning, the God who sees, the God who can see the things that are happening. And can you imagine the one who named God at the first instance in that scripture, this is Genesis we're talking about, wasn't a patriarch, not even a priest. It was a maid, an Egyptian, not even their own kind, a slave, who first realized that the God of Abram and Sarai is the God who can see whatever is happening in the life of the people. Can you imagine the heart of Hagar at that time when she realized that although she thought that she is just, you know, a nobody, and yet God appeared to her and called her by name. If God will appear to you and would say, Kathleen Wood, I'm sure you're gonna turn your head around, wouldn't you? Because we all respond to our name, and this is the goodness of God. Regardless of how many billions the people in this world, He knows us by name. Just as He named the stars. That's in the scripture. He named the stars. And he knows our name. So when Hagar heard that, she spoke, Lord, I am running away from my mistress Sarai. Trouble was, the angel said to her, go back. Go back. In our present time, we would say, no, that's domestic abuse you're telling her to go back to. No, Lord, you're wrong. You're putting her at risk. You could not be a good police officer, Lord. Why are you putting her back there? You should be calling social services. But God said to her, go back. Go back. You see, in our studies, this passage, what I'm doing right now with the church is to help the church to recognize what you are, because you've been doing this for many years already. You are a multi-voice church. The church who doesn't only speak with monologue, with just the pastor talking. It's a church that actually speaks their minds out when they're given the chance. And so what I did, my first project was, I went to Faith and John's house, not just to enjoy the roast dinner, but actually, a week before that, I sent them these two passages. And I asked them, can you please look into this, read it, and think about it, and share me your thoughts after our dinner. And so, don't worry, you're not in trouble. Whatever you told me that day, I incorporated it into my preaching. And this is what we find. One, when we know that God is the God who sees, the first thing we would think of is we will be amazed. Because God saw that there was abuse in the house of Abram. God saw that there was this Sarai struggling about her own situation. And God saw that Hagar was that woman, was that maid that was abused. And yet, because even God saw it, it's amazing. He didn't say, right, let's burn this house down. There's no good in them. They're doing all this abuse. Let's burn this house down. What did he do? He said, the angel of the Lord said, go back and submit to your mistress. Why? Because God wants the household of Abraham to learn that if there's something wrong, you shouldn't run away from it. You go back to it and see to it that you do what is right. And that's what God did. He told Hagar, you will have a son. He will have a lot of descendants. You will name him Ishmael. Usually it's the father who will name the child. But in this instance, God told Hagar to tell Abraham that God said, this boy's name will be Ishmael. Can you imagine the shock of Abraham and Sarai at the time? That God told, that Hagar said, yeah, I'm Egyptian, but God told me, I have to tell you that my son is going to be born and his name will be Ishmael. And according to the scripture, he was 86 years old, and when Abram hold Isaac and name him, he named him Ishmael, just as exactly what the angel of the Lord said. What a reverse of a situation. God is good, right? He's amazing, because even though they made a mistake, God told Hagar not to run away but to go back so I can teach the lesson to the whole household of Abram. What is the other lesson that they have to learn? The second lesson that they have to learn is this. Because I, the God who can see, I want you to know that there is nothing wrong that passes before me that I didn't notice. But I don't run away from you. I stick with you because I want you to learn this. That for every promise I told you about, because I promise you that you will be a son, don't make any mistakes of doing it by yourself, like surrogating it or assigning it through the other woman or whatever. You both will have your own son according to the promise that God gave them. And they have to learn to stick, regardless of what's happening, to the promise of God. Some people here heard me praying that the Toby Evans house will be sold to us and we will have $1 million to buy it if ever it's going to be sold. Because the reality is this, if God gave you the faith, if God gave you the vision, if God gave you the correct angle to look at, you better be corrected and check yourself if you're on the right lane with God. And this is what God wants to for Abram and Sarai to learn. You made a mistake. I'm correcting it. You learn from it. Now, according to history, Ishmael actually became the ancestral father of northern Arabs. Yeah? And Isaac, who later became the biological son of Abram and Sarah, their names were changed later on, became the ancestral father of all the Jewish people. Have you seen the effect? By the time when Abram and Sarai made this wrong mistake or wrong action, I would say committed a mistake, they never realized that it would actually affect the whole world. So my main lesson is this. Well, of course, we don't have to stuck them and say, yeah, it's your fault. But the main reason that we have to look into this, because the Bible didn't actually cover it. He showed to us, the Lord showed to us, that if we don't stick with the guidance of God, something could happen that we wouldn't intend to happen. And of course, we know what happened. So the conclusion is not that when you are 86 and God told you that you will have a son, then you will do the same thing. The conclusion is when God told you something and he promised you something, stick with it until it comes to fruition. Don't ever take your eyes off from it. The God who can see will see it through that it will happen. Our problem sometimes is that we don't realize that actually the seeing God can actually see the past, the present, and the future. Yeah? We forgot that. We always complain to the Lord, Lord, why did you have... I can remember what happened in the family when we had this very big loss in our family when we were starting. I'm telling you, I think the people... I preach this kind of line of thought back in the Philippines when I visited in November. And I told them, guys, I am a pastor, but I'm telling you one thing. I became a rebel against God without other people knowing it for 3 years. I barely read the Bible. I barely read the prayer. I barely pray. Why? I don't like what God did to me. He gave me an autistic son and I hated it. I told him, no, you're not good. If I'm God like you, I'll be better. Better than you, honestly. Yeah, I'm telling that to God. And my wife is saying, oh, don't say that. I said, why would I not say these things to God? Because even before I speak, he knows the words in my head. I'd rather say it now. But of course, later on, I realized, oh, God, so sorry. I was carried by my emotion. I don't think I should be saying that to you. And God was so kind. He just carried me through until I see it because he saw that I'm going through a very bad process in my life. He's never surprised with what's happening to my head, with what's happening to my heart. And he just carried me through. The God who sees is the God who will carry you through. And we all know the story. Everything became okay when Abraham and Sarah became a mother and father to Isaac. The name Isaac means laughter, right? They were happy in the end. They were happy in the end. Our joy as well is that With a God who can see us, and we are amazed at His grace, at His mercy, that He actually tells us what to do despite our own mistake, will become more clear when we realize that there is nothing hidden before God. Kath, would you please read the scripture that tells us exactly what David said about this? Thank you.
Thank you. This is...
Moment, she will turn it on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. This is Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is in my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Kathleen Wood. Thank you. I ask Faith about this passage. If she can explain it in one word, what would it be? And she said, secured. When you read the passage, all you feel is that you're secured. There's nothing to hide. And also you feel secured because you know that there is nothing for you to pretend. Because God sees you as you are. And he is not polite as your neighbor who wouldn't tell you that your hair is unkempt while you're walking outside. He's not like that. He tells you exactly. And you feel secure because you know that even if you're not up to the point, you're not there on the level that you thought you should be, He still takes you as you are. I would not be happy if my God will take me to the said, right, okay, if you don't count out to that mark, boom, you go out. You're not here. You don't belong. But we feel secure because the reality is there is nothing that we can say or do or actually commit that would make us feel or we could be secured in the love of God. There is nothing that we do or a mistake that we do that would make us feel that God doesn't love us anymore. His love is totally proven at the cross because Jesus Christ died on the cross regardless of how big, how small your faith is. And with the passage in Psalm 139, it tells us that we should be secured because we are known. We are fully known by God. Don't you realize that the reason why growing up is an exciting part of living is because we're trying to discover who we are, right? And then we end up saying, I'm on my middle life crisis. Really? Of course, it happens from time to time. That's why some men like me would like to have more hair and whatnot. That's the problem. The only solution to that is the reality check that says, if God knew me, who I am, what is the thing that I need to change to please him? There is nothing. And I love God for that. Because I don't need to perform 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in order for me to be sure that he loves me. I don't have to say the right words at the right time when I pray in order to make sure that he answers my prayers. Romans chapter 8 says that even when we pray and we don't know the right words to say, the Holy Spirit is groaning for us. He is praying for us. We realize that sometimes in just our whispers, we realize that God answers more than what we can think or imagine. He answers them. And you thought, that's exactly what I want. How come I haven't said the right word, but that's exactly what I want? Secondly, we feel secure because we know that whenever we say something to God, we don't actually surprise him. Have you been to a prayer meeting that most people speak in almost like curated words? Oh, I feel so uneasy with that. I mean, you know me. I'm giving you these sheets to read the scriptures or the prayers from. But you don't have to see me that doing to you and with you all the time. There's a moment that we can have an open prayer because God knows exactly what we're going to say. You might be reading the right words, saying the right words you think, but actually you're thinking of something else, and that's what exactly God is interested with, what you're thinking. Judith has been telling us that God can see us in our hearts, right? So don't pretend. Don't pretend. The response, because God sees us, is not to pretend. Sean, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Can we have a microphone for Sean? Sean is not going to preach. He's going to read the scripture that I assigned him to read. Wait for the microphone, Sean.
By the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, and you look forward to the day of the God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. What righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him.
Thank you, Sean. If you are going to point blank question me about that passage, all I can say is that now that we know we are seen, we really don't need to pretend as we expect the Lord's coming. We have to live honest lives before God. That's the first rule. Sometimes you don't need to be totally honest to people. You're going to tell them that you haven't had breakfast this morning or you have a toothache, whatever. When I first came to this country, I have my classmates from Ukraine. And the first thing that my British classmates would always ask us in the morning, hello, how are you? Now, in my country, when somebody asks you, how are you, we tell them exactly what we have. It's not a polite question for us. And so with this classmate of mine from Ukraine, he has a toothache that day. And so one of the classmates says, hello, how are you? He said, I have a toothache. The guy doesn't know what to say. Because, of course, it's not our culture, right, to mingle. We're actually just saying, I recognize where you are. But with what Sean had read to us, basically tells us, that as we expect the Lord's coming, looking back at the story of Genesis 16, connecting it to Psalms 139, we should be conscious that there should be no pretending before God as we live for him. If you're struggling with your faith, say it. If you just don't like what God has been doing to your life, say it. If you feel you're stumbling in your faith, say it. God can handle it. But don't run away from him. Do not say, I will never come to you again. No. It's just like, you know, when I'm considering scolding my children, when they were little, I asked them to come and hug me. So I am telling them, don't do this, don't do that, but I want them to hug me. That's the kind of attitude that God wants us. We don't need to pretend. If we're angry with him, come to him, hug him, and tell him, no, I don't like what you're doing, Lord. As we expect the Lord's coming, we should be honest to him. We should know exactly what we feel and tell him exactly. He's not going to break down. He's not going to have a nervous breakdown. Oh my God, he's not going to do that. You know why I'm saying this? Because according to research in this place, Woodingdin alone, about 29%, I think, of the people here in this village, I think it's about 10,000, 29% of the people here are lonely. Yeah? The solution is not to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. That's not the solution. The solution is this, that you will find the core meaning of your life. You will find the core basic need of your life, and that need is Jesus Christ, because there's a hole in our spirit, in our hearts, that only God can fill. You cannot fill it with money. You cannot fill it with relationship. You cannot fill it with anything. It's only God who can fill it. And so I would say to those 29%, if it is true and if it's correct, I pray that the Lord will fill their hearts, that they will not find themselves lonely. That they will find the God who sees them, clearly who they are. And yet, as they know God, they will expect the coming of the Lord. They're expecting it, that any time it will come. And so they need to live not pretentious, but honest to him. Never alone, indeed, Iris. Even if David is not around, he's with God. God is with you. You're connected. You're never alone. You're never alone. I find it so easy and very comforting with those two words that I heard from John and Faith, the words amazed and secure. Because in this day and age, there is nothing we can do than to hold on to the scripture, to the passage, to the words, to the promise of God, and feel that because we are seen, we have to totally depend on him. God, my children are just way out of order. God, my family are not here. They're all over the place, both spiritually, physically, mentally, everywhere. But God, you know them. According to your word in Psalms 139, you are behind us, you are before us, you are everywhere. Wherever we go, even if we go to the depths, you are there. If we go up there in the sky, you are there. So Lord, deal with us. Help us. That we're not only to find security, we find that we ourselves will go from Sunday to Sunday being amazed of your goodness, that regardless of how bad we had done in the past, and yet your grace flows freely for us. I was talking with a mom two nights ago. The son, I think, has a drug addiction. And regardless of what they do, they feel that the son needs to go to rehab. The son has been using drugs for many years, they thought. And the son, regardless of how many help the son received, he just squandered them, money, anything. And after all, at the end of the talk, where the mom was telling me, they were heartbroken to see that this young boy who grew up a very kind boy, turned up to be like a monster because of drugs. And she said the lines that almost break my heart. He said, "But Pastor, he is my son. Regardless of what he is doing and what he has done, he is my son. There is nothing for me as a mother that would tell me that I'm going to just say, just go away from me. Whenever he comes to me, I have no choice but to help him." Now consider that. If God, who sees us and exactly knows not only our quirkiness, but our own wrong desires, wrong plans, our bad mistakes in the past, and yet he didn't withhold himself from hugging us, from embracing us, from accepting us, from receiving us. What kind of people are we if we are not going to say, "Lord, you're great. You're amazing. You didn't give up on us. You just take us as we are, regardless of who we are." And to me, I would say this, over my dead body that I will give up my God because he is so good to me. Over my dead body that I will give up my faith because God is so good to me. He saw me. He saw everything that I did in the past. And he already knew what I'm going to do in the future. And yet he said, you are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath you are under our everlasting arms. Can you believe? We are being held by the God who sees us and knows us completely. Oh, don't tell me because you're 80 or 70 or 60, you thought, oh no, Gerald, I'm so good with my Christian life. Tell you what, the older you get, the more questions you have. Sean Wright? Yes, you have so many questions. And with all those questions that comes and goes in our head, sometimes we didn't realize we're committing mistakes before God because we are human beings. We're short-sighted. We don't know what's happening. We just actually tell God off sometimes. Not literally in the mouth, but in our head, we do that. We're not perfect indeed, Iris. Otherwise, I'm not going to stand here. I will never be able to preach here. The point of the matter is this, as I'd like to encourage you, whatever you're going through this week, be honest with God. He loves you so much that he's not going to shoo you away. Whatever questions you had in your head, just fire it to him. Because one day, by the Holy Spirit, he will tell you exactly the answer to that question. It may take a while, but when that answer comes, it's sweeter than the honey. Because it's the perfect timing. And during this week, whatever you're struggling with, feeling lonely, you're upset with what God you think has been doing to you, you feel like there's nobody who really cares, remember this, El Roy, the God who sees you. And every time you find a bus driver with the name Roy, remember, that reminds you that God sees you. And whatever struggles you have in your family, remember, God sees you. And the word of the Lord says, and he who began a good work in you will see you through, and he will make it in completion. God doesn't start a project he never finished. God who will not start something good in you that he will never see through. It may take years, it may take months or days, but the hunger that God puts in your heart to know him, the joy of knowing his word, the feeling that you know him exactly what you think you should know him, will continue to grow on and on and on. Why? The Bible says, and he is transforming us from glory to glory every day. When God sees you, he just, okay, so that's what you are, right? All right, okay, leave you to it. He doesn't do that. He sees you, he picks you up, he molds you, he does something about you, and then he makes you grow according to his likeness. Because that is God's goal for our lives. That when we see him in heaven, we shall see him as he is. And we will not be surprised because he already developed that likeness in us. And for all of us who believe that this is God's will for us, that he sees us, and yet he never leaves us in the desert, he doesn't forget us, he develops into something, we shall say in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Any questions? You'll be surprised if I preach. I will ask for a question. Any question? Not outside the topic, but the topic. Any question? We have 5 minutes. If you don't know the question, I will ask you the question. I have prepared 20 at least. Don't laugh because I'm serious. I have 20 questions in mind. Psalms 139 is a very long passage. Genesis 16 is a very long passage. 5 minutes time. Any question? Fire me. Right, you don't have a